Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, cats and dogs, boys and girls, Juventino and crybaby Milanistas, welcome to episode 230, the Mad Max at the San Siro. This is going to be an interesting pod, right? So I'm going to have a revolving door of people coming in. So right now it's me and the Zachy boy, but Dave might come in, Farad might come in, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. But we've got some interesting stuff to dive in. But again, if you guys haven't caught in the previous one with Fiago, it's a good pod. Recommend you listen to it. I know you love the sound of mine and Zachy's voice, and you missed it because it wasn't there on the last one. But I'm going to recommend you do it. Take a listen to it because it is on Spotify and YouTube. So again, remember, this is Dash from the YouTube sector of the Turin Giants. We also have a YouTube page where we post our gags where Dave and I just absolutely rage quit for fun. And make sure you check that out as well. But without tiring you guys with this long intro, Zach, how are you?
I'm all right, brother. How are you? Nah, you were really good with that, man. That was smooth.
I've been doing this for far too long. That's probably why. No, but
no way.
I am getting older and crankier. I found gray hairs in my beard and I was absolutely petrified. So it is getting there. And the sad part is I don't have any kids. So I can't blame it on them. Damn it.
Listen, man. Ladies love a silver fox. And it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Send the daddy issues my way. I can substitute for them.
Oh boy.
Yeah. You know who, speaking of daddy issues, I think Milan and Pioli have some daddy issues, right? A lot of whining. I mean, obviously it's a big game. I think I'm a little bit jaded about that result. We'll kind of dive right into it because we have some fun stuff. We'll talk Milan. We'll talk some transfer rumors and we'll talk about some upcoming matches. And I think we'll beg the question, if are we contenders or are we not contenders? But, before I lose you guys, let's kick it off. Juve Milan. Juve went 1-0 against the 10-man Milan. I guess you could say Milan was thawed out with a really stupid red card, hence the pun there with Tia. But it's an interesting game at the San Siro. This was the first time we won in quite a while, actually.
Yeah,
in San
Siro. Two years.
Yep. Milan just magically had our number for the past couple of seasons in the San Siro, or in general, right? We haven't been able to beat them, but we did. This game, judging off of what I saw on X, game of very, very mixed emotions. For me, it was mixed emotions. I was a little bit 50-50, but nobody cares about what Dash thinks first. Zach, what was your thoughts about it?
Nah, we do. honestly, I'm with you. To be quite honest, this was one of those games where I felt my gaze being pulled elsewhere because, frankly, it was boring. And by boring, I mean, we felt kind of toothless, outside of a Locatelli, you know, Galazzo, but like, I don't know, man, it was, not like all like the, now the result is what matters, and of course we'll get to like everything else, but like I don't know, man, like it didn't inspire too much confidence in me to be, I guess, title contenders.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of the Lions and the Ravens. Fuck, man, that game still pisses me off. Damn it.
I'm not gonna lie, dude, as I was watching that game I was like, oh dude, Dash is pissed.
Oh man, I our defense. No defense. Defense was terrible. And flipping Lamar Jackson apparently is the next coming of Walter Peyton Manning or Joe Montana for some reason. Six missed passes, but
Walter Peyton Manning. I actually love that because he can throw and he can run. Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. It was just wild, man. Like I don't know, but I was able to rebound with that Juve win, but it's right, man. Like I have very, very mixed feelings about this. Like, I'm happy. So I'm going to make this clear, right? I'm going to make this abundantly clear. I'm not going to be a Juve fan that's bitching about us winning, right? Mm-mm. I'm trying to look at this objectively. I'm happy we won.
Oh yeah.
I like, again, I'm known for not having any emotions compared to the other guys in the cast. So like, sorry for my poker face, but I'm ecstatic that we won. My issue is how we won. Because we won off, say it as you will, in my opinion, it's an own goal. It's not on the stat sheet, but it is, because when you look at that shot, Loca is hitting bottom right. Goalkeeper was at bottom right. In my opinion, I think it was going to go a little bit wide, but it takes a dink off a thigh and changes direction. Takes quite a heavy dink, actually, a favorable dink, because usually when you hit the thigh, that sucker goes above the crossbar, but that just kind of plopped right in front of it. Outside of that, the only player that I saw progressing or creating anything or is the guy that actually gave us the red card was Moise Kean.
Mm-hmm.
Barring a little bit of a sitter that he missed, the only player that I saw proactively playing offensively was Kean. You can argue and say that Rabiot was doing his job defensively. I have no expectations for Rabiot going forward, right? As far as an offensive player. Outside of maybe Kean and Weah, I don't like that. That's my biggest concern. Like, I'm happy we won, but it goes back to the recurring theme or the recurring issue is we have no threat in the middle.
Mm.
Like, there is no movement or no integration, no adjustments, nothing. Like, for example, I forgot Milik was playing until I saw Kean get subbed instead of Milik, or I'm like, what the hell? Why is he still on the field?
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know if Milik is trying to get prepped for his Halloween costume. I'm not too sure. And like I said, revolving door.
He's trying to be a ghost?
Yeah. He's trying to be a ghost.
Door. Yeah.
Speaking of that, revolving door. I told you it's a revolving podcast. We have David.
How is it going?
Hey, David.
Nothing. We're just talking about ghosts and Milik.
Ghosts. Oh, the ghost of Milik.
Mm. To either that, too. But it's interesting, right? Literally invisible the entire game, didn't really offer much. At this point, I've made this argument before, and I'm going to make this again. Why doesn't Allegri just move McKennie back to right wing back and play Weah as the behind the defender striker with Kean at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I think you need that because Weah was progressing, making runs, being integrated into the offense. But the issue is, and this is what really pissed me off, was someone would boot the ball to Kean would fight for it, have it, and have no outlet.
Right.
Locatelli was looking at him, just I don't know why. Same thing with McKennie, same thing with Rabiot, kind of just looking at him like, I'm supposed to run, I'm supposed to make a movement. And
there wasn't any of it.
It wasn't. And yes, McKennie and Weah connected quite well. I mean, it's a given, their chemistry with the United States national team. But really, the MVPs of that game was Gatti by being smart and smart with his fouls against Leao. And not, I mean, he was going to get torched, but he didn't get torched that bad, air quotes. I thought Rugani and Bremer did well again. I mean, Rugani comes in, there's a clean sheet again. The only time he hasn't had a clean sheet since he started was the Napoli game, and that was it. Like, defensively, we look great. Our defenders were doing their job, but for me, Dusan laid a stinker with that missed tap-in. Kean probably carried the entire offense until he got subbed off. You had a couple of movements with Chiesa. Everyone kind of sits there and says Allegri about, and we're going to get into the Mad Max thing. With him throwing his tie, throwing his jacket, and throwing everything out there, everyone's like, oh, that's embarrassing. I was on the verge of doing that during our watch along.
I was. I threw my water bottle. I have like a second chair here, and it was my backboard, the soft landing spot for my water bottle, because I threw it three times in that match.
It's pure insanity. When you go up a man, essentially you win off of, in air quotes, an own goal. Where, like, for me, I was hoping that we'd see them put the pedal to the metal. And I don't want to hear this saying, oh, Allegri played us concert. Bullshit.
Mm.
Not when you're a man up. He did not.
When he got that mad at the performance.
Yeah, not when he was that pissed off. The scheme wasn't. Maybe before the red card, I could tell the scheme was hold it for a 0-0 100%. Like, that was the game plan. Don't get it twisted. I'm not getting it twisted here. I said this on the watch along, and I told Dave, I said, holy hell, I think we're playing like the same we did against Atalanta. We're playing for a 0-0. And then the red card happens. And then it almost looks like, because when we didn't have the advantage, everyone was a little bit more alert, a little bit more on edge. The moment we went a man up, everyone's just kind of coasting.
Relaxed.
Like, we're good.
Relaxed.
We're fine. We don't have to worry about it. That irritates me.
It was funny, too, because it happened, I think it was 42nd minute, right before the half. So you would have expected that reset with the coach talk. Like, yeah, you play out the final few minutes, just close out the half, and then we'll figure this out. We got this. And that's what we were expecting is, okay, we have 45 minutes up a man. Let's hand it to them. Let's go. And then just flat.
I mean, that was the problem, right? Like, yeah. Like, come on. Like, if you were following my Twitter feed, it was like, all right, step on the gas. Okay, now let's step on the gas. It's like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I just kept waiting. Yeah, I'm just like waiting for them to like turn on. Like, guys, what are you in? Are you that intimidated by an injured 10-man Milan? Like, that you're not gonna just press the issue and like try and cook them? Like, do you not trust your backs enough or like your defense enough to where if you do push a little too far forward and you get caught out a little bit, that they're not going to do their job, which they, okay. So Gatti got cooked maybe once or twice, but that's going to happen against Leao. But for the most part, he had a pretty solid game. I really couldn't complain with this. I thought he was composed. Yeah, he got the yellow, but like, that's okay. Like, he's playing against one of the best players in the league. So, and he did a great job. Like, I'm waiting for my midfield and my offense to actually show a little bit of like impetus, like impetus to go forward, like, and try and win the game. Like thankfully Locatelli decided, hey man, I'm just going to try and fucking fire this, this piss missile. And he did. And it worked out well. Like, why? It's like, but that shouldn't be the only shot that we're like firing. Like we got, okay. I think Keane was a little unfortunate with his sitter. I think if he gets that, I think he puts that away 7-8 times out of 10. I think he just missed it. Okay. But like, that couldn't be the only opportunity. No. And it really felt, I mean, we went what 40, it felt like 40 minutes without anything in between.
Exactly.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And here's the issue too. Pioli gave Juve a bone. You want to know why? He made the boneheaded substitution to take out Pulisic and keep Giroud on.
Right.
When you're a man down, when you keep Giroud on the pitch, you are essentially playing with two men down in that kind of scheme, right? In a 10-man scheme. Like, right. In their normal scheme, it's dangerous. He's a pivot guy, pivots to his speedy wingers. But when you're down a man, you need your speedsters. And the only speedster was Leao. And then Juve's like, all right, great. Let me throw him in double coverage. And then
bingo.
That's it. He's isolated.
Everything went up the left. It's like you knew they were just going to lob it over the top to Leao. And then Gatti was going to be there. It's like, all right, let's do this.
Right.
Yeah, because essentially, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Kalou came in for Pulisic. So that 100% negates their attacks on the right. And that's what happened. No attacks came from that right side.
Nope. No, I wasn't. Yeah, the minute that they pulled Pulisic off, I was not even worried about like a serious attack.
Yeah, because prior to the send-off, Pulisic was maybe 2 or 3 feet away from a tap-in. That one that goes across goal that Tech palms it away just barely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge save. And that's what I was worried about going into this game. I said, Giroud is a dangerous pivot. You need to. And I thought Rugani held him well. I mean, Rugani forced Giroud into a really awkward angle for him to take that shot. That gave Tech a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So big props to Walgani on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But Pioli gave them a bone. Mm-hmm. And I bet you Allegri knew. And he was like, hey, go for it. Because the issue that I have is what I saw that second half was not a scheme issue. Far from a scheme issue. From what I seen it was laziness. It was comfort. And feel free to call me out, viewers. It's totally fine. Maybe I missed something here. Maybe I missed something entirely. It's intimidation, being afraid. Essentially, some of these players played not to lose. Right. And it's infuriating to me because Milan essentially have given Nemanja, no Hernandez, no Pulisic, Giroud limited. You essentially stuffed Leao.
Missing Loftus-Cheek.
Missing Loftus-Cheek. So that's six. Six positives going your way. And did I mention a man down? No, that might be the seventh point. And they relied on, and that's what surprises me. Like, for example, I didn't see anything from Milik. Outside of the shot, can we say that really the only thing that carried Locatelli's performance was that shot?
I mean, he did a bit. He did his quiet work. I won't take that away
which is
from
fine.
Him. Yeah. But yeah, he wasn't exceptional.
Outside of some connections between McKennie and Weah, I think Weah probably had a better game.
Mm-hmm.
Kostic, I don't know what the hell Kostic does at this point. Like, this guy is almost like...
I was waiting until this came up.
It's like a poor man's, like, quick cross FIFA perk. Instead, he just... The ball touches him, X. The second the ball touches him, X, where he's just lofting it. I think if we're looking at an accuracy of hitting Calabria, I think Kostic would have won, you know, the Ballon d'Or with the amount of times he's pinged Calabria on his crosses.
The memes on this already.
Wonder free kick or whatever the hell that thing was.
There was something, and I'm going to misquote it, I'm sure, but it was of the 15 crosses Kostic took, 18 went into whoever's ass.
Yeah, into Calabria's ass. No, and that's like, it's the truth. Like, I think every cross he took hit Calabria. Calabria probably had to go ice himself up after the game, not because he was like sore from running, but because he got pinged by the ball so many times.
It's mind boggling because, like, take a bloody touch, take a bloody touch and move and then send it. Like, Cambiasso faked on his right, shifted to his left, threw in a cross. Like,
he cut in a lot, actually.
The amount of inverted play. And this
is also got very close to putting away a beauty, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my question for Cambiasso or with this is, what the hell is going on in training, man? Is this guy not putting in the work or something like that? Like, how, unless Kostic has some, like, you know, XSplit photos of Allegri with hair or something like this, what the hell is going on in training that Kostic is like, all right, I'm going to start him? Because the argument was that Kostic was holding Pulisic defensively. Like, Pulisic cooked him and nearly got a tap in. It just, Tech was able to push it out of the way. Like, I don't understand what people are saying about Kostic's defensive work rate. Like, I don't need Kostic for defense. I need an offense through the left wing because that's how our play style is right now. It's attack through the left or the right.
And I never really saw Kostic as an overly defensive winger. He was one of our more defensive options, but overall, I don't think that should be mistaken that, like, he's good at defending.
Yeah, no, and like let's think about the team that he was coming from, right? When he was at Frankfurt. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I'm gonna give him his flowers. I mean, they had a schema set up where he would get free on that left side and cook and put beauties in. But we play very differently, especially now, considering even from the time we bought him to the time now, we pray, like, even if it's more subtle, we play pretty differently. And like, or we have different intentions with our squad, right? So we should really have been trying, like, and now I'm going to give him credit. He's been nothing short of a professional. You know, he's not going into the tabloids. He's not bitching and moaning about, you know, playing time. I don't like how Allegri is playing me like this or that or yada, yada. Right. But I don't understand what purpose I don't understand why he's getting the nod over Cambiasso. I don't, from a tactical, technical perspective, I don't understand.
Yeah. I feel like he has some sort of seniority, which he does.
True.
But, and on one hand, we criticize Allegri a lot for always switching up the lineup. He finally had, after so long, two consecutive, you know, lineups. And then we ended up, did we lose that one or tie? We had a stinker, whatever it was. That was one. Was it the Sassuolo one? Yeah, where we just completely blew it. So that's what happens, right? So we get mad at him for changing things up, and then when he gets some consistency, in this case Kostic at the left, we're also upset with it, right? So damn if you do, damn if you don't, it seems. But can we not just like take each situation as it is? Yes, we would like to see some consistency, but that doesn't just mean consistency in this player always starts, but consistency in the player that is the most consistent in that position at the moment and make those changes as we need. So put Cambiaso if he's performing better, which he's had his ups and downs as well, but I believe he's on more of an up compared to Kostic where he's low, right? Like, make that tactical decision. I think that's what we're all yelling at, yeah. Right? If you want to keep, you know, Vlahovic as your bona fide number nine, okay, sure. Obviously, that makes sense to not switch him out every single week, barring injuries, right? But if your left midfield position, there's a toss-up of who's the best week in, week out, change them. Let them fight for it.
It's healthy. It is. It's healthy competition, but now it's where it's getting to the point where I'm sitting here, I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me because we have three options in theory. You got Illing, you got Cambiaso, and you got Kostic. Like, is Kostic seriously that above the other two in training that he gets it? Like, I just find that very difficult to believe that.
I don't. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I'm struggling to understand what Kostic offers in the scheme. Like, maybe crosses, but at the same time, if he's not offering crosses, what else does he offer to the scheme?
I've seen the argument, and I see it on certain levels in that certain teams, that one-dimensional play that he offers, just bombing straight down that wing and crossing, it works against certain teams. So it's a situational type thing, which is fine. But that also means he comes off the bench. He doesn't start.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, you looked at it, right? Cambiaso or even Illing would have absolutely torched Calabria, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I would. I mean, the minute that they go down to 10, and if he's like, you know, okay, so you're playing Kostic because you feel like he might be a little bit more reliable in the defense. Now, I'm not going to say whether or not he is. Maybe Allegri thinks he might be a little bit smarter just based on his experience, you know.
That's the only thing I can think of. Maturity.
Right. Okay. So maturity, right? Okay. And it's a big game. All right. Doesn't want maybe, you know, too much the youngsters to feel as much pressure, although brings Huijsen in, and Huijsen is like, what?
Yeah.
Like, big game? No problem.
My dude looked like he smoked a joint before he subbed on.
Dude. Yeah, we'll get to him. But
yeah, like, we'll get to him.
But nah, man. Like, the minute that they go down to 10, I'd be like yanking Kostic off and putting in a more offensive player like Illing Jr. or Cambiaso. Cambiaso was slicing and dicing cutting through their defenses, and that's what you needed because you know they were going to be more compact, and you know they were going to want to stay, you know, sit back and try and hit Leao on a counter. But like, so like, take it to them. Test their defense, their injured defense. And like, Cambiaso got in there and said, okay, all right, I'll do that.
Because at the end of the day, it's Kalou and Tomori. It's not Chiellini and Barzagli. Like, you don't need to be
no world beaters. Right.
It's Kalou and Tomori.
Yeah, they're decent. They're decent, but
mediocre.
You got this. You got this.
like that's the one thing that frustrated me.
Right. They're serviceable players, right? Like, I'm not like dunking on them, but like,
no,
we should have, and I think we do have the firepower and the means to literally like put them to the sword. And we didn't put them to the sword when literally like the entire, like they literally like, you guys ever seen like the first episode of fucking Game of Thrones? Like, they were the dude with his head on the chopping block, and Ned Stark is just like, how about we don't, you know, like, he's there, he's ready. Like, he is sitting there saying, okay, I get it. I fucked up. You can kill him. Like, I know I'm going to have to die for this. And they're just like, I don't know. You want to take a swing at him? Cause I don't know if I'm feeling
that's pretty. Good. Yeah. That's pretty much the game.
Like, I don't know. Do you want to take a swing? Cause I don't know. You know, shoulders feeling a little rough today. You know? It's a heavy sword. Like, that's how I felt. I was like, well, who's going to step up and be like, all right, like, who wants to, like, I want to score. I want to, like, put them to the sword. I want to, like, I want to win this game. Now, thankfully, like, all things considered, Locatelli took the shot. And all it took was a little bit of luck and a hell of a rocket, and we got a goal.
Yeah, I mean, a bit lucky. I still think it's lucky.
Yeah, it is lucky.
You had to put the shot on, right?
Yeah.
You got to shoot or shoot. You got to put. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry, buddy.
No, sorry. That was. I think we're gonna say the same thing, anyways. You just the couple times that we actually just shot the ball, something happened.
Yeah, and right. I think out of the subs, I think Cambiasso takes first as far as performance. I kind of want to save Huijsen for the end, but the other substitute, Chiesa coming in, trying to stretch the field, trying to do what he does. It's a cameo appearance. We're already up one, I believe, at the time. It's, again, a Chiesa cameo. There's nothing good, nothing bad, right?
Did his job.
The one player, pisses me off. Dusan misses a sitter.
That was one of the times I threw a water bottle.
That to me was just baffling. Like, yeah. It's on his left. He misses it. And then the other thing is this is when Allegri throws his jacket. Chiesa's trying to create a 1-2 with him. Looks at Chiesa, totally doesn't move a single inch. And Chiesa's looking at him like, dude, what? And then that's when you see Allegri start kicking the sign on the side. And it's like, and that causes a turnover at the end of the game. And then, like, Milan starts countering. And look, his ability is not in question. His ability is there. Now my question is, how available is this dude? Mm. Like, when it goes into stats, right, I said one of the things that I've always believed philosophically when it comes to a player's value and their capability is availability.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
You didn't go to Serbia. You went to go rehab your back, and then he's going out shopping in Madrid for clothing and stuff. I understand the human aspect of it, being a human. You're not a robot, right? But
of course,
at the same time, can I question his work ethic from what I've seen on the pitch?
Yeah.
Like, is that like a legitimate conversation? Because, like, for example, phantom back pain or even any kind of lower back pain at this point.
Like, back pain sucks, but it's, at least from my experience, not necessarily going to stop you with enough muscle relaxants. You know, there's stuff that they have for that.
Right. Like, I don't know. Again, I can't tell you. Like, I know back pain can be like utterly like debilitating. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he's going through, you know? But like, I'm not necessarily going to question his work ethic per se yet. But when he is injured, like, it's not like his performance drops off a little bit. It drops off a cliff. Like even though Chiesa was suffering fatigue and wasn't at his best, you still saw the work rate. You still saw him fighting, making good tactical moves, right? Like, even if, like, his touch might not be totally there because he's, like, he doesn't feel 100% himself, but you still feel like he's still going to go out there and perform. With when Dusan is coming in on a cameo role and he's hurt.
Gone.
I'm like,
oh, boy.
Why would you even bother? Because it's not going to look good. His touch is going to be off. His movements, his runs are going to be off. I think this is like psychological with him. I think he's so worried about getting hurt again that
but at the end of the game, who's jumping the highest to greet the fans?
Right.
In the pictures.
Right. But like at the same time, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, listen, if you're going to have that mindset, I understand like you're a young kid. You want to be able to play for as long as you possibly can at the highest possible level you can. It's like, but man, like, I need you to be with it 100% when you're getting into the game. I don't care if your back hurts, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know, this is essentially a make or break for his career this season, right? Like this season essentially is the decider of, is he an actual top tier player or is he someone that you're going to see in Sampdoria or Genoa in 2 or 3 years?
Mm. Mm. Good point. Yeah, is he a mid-table player or is he a top caliber player?
Cuz like I'm sorry when people are saying, "Oh no, because he's for some reason he's part of this protected class." I don't understand why. Because like for example, if Keen makes one error, like for example, I'm seeing things about Keen missing the sitter more than I'm seeing about Doosan missing the sitter. They both miss sitters, right? Sitters.
Yeah.
So for me, this is it. You're 85 million. Your value is 85 million. You have the highest salary on the roster, maybe barring Tech,
right?
And Alexandro, dude, like, with all due respect to him, but if you can't hash it this season, you're gone.
Yeah.
Because
and it's almost unfair to compare Keen though in that, because the only thing Keen is missing right now is the finish. The rest of his game is on, or at least developing to a very serviceable point, right? I take offense to Keen on that one, in a sense, because Keen's actually doing his job.
Keen misses the more difficult sitter. That ball is coming in on a rope, and I mean he made the play to make the run, and I mean that's a hard ball. He made his bed on that one.
Yeah.
It is, but it's just one of those things where I just find it ironic where it's like, do you guys not realize that if it wasn't for Keen, we wouldn't have a man advantage? If he didn't absolutely torch that center back.
He cooked Chaw the whole 40 minutes Chaw was on
the field. It was no preheat. It was just straight 500 degrees brick oven. just cooked him.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It was just...
I was very impressed with
and
that.
even if he doesn't tug on his shirt, it's a one-on-one, and I'm pretty confident that Keen would have scored. It's the angle and everything.
That's just you.
Whatever, man. Hey, your boy missed a one-on-one with a keeper at the end. Kicked it right in his hands instead of chipping it.
But if you watch the replay, I'm not defending. No one's my boy. It's I'm just trying to prove to people that Keen is nothing special. He did great for what he was. I personally think he should have stayed on instead of Milik coming out or vice versa. But I feel like Doosan's, it wasn't really a sitter. It was a really strong hand by the keeper, but he did have less time and less distance to close that ball, if that makes sense. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hey, what's up, Farhad?
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? I told you guys it was a revolving door.
It's a bearded crew, huh? I just cut mine today, and all of you guys are sporting your winter beards. Very nice. TuningGiants.com. I'm super happy to be here. I had to step out. My boys are there like that for me as always. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to bow out in a few minutes, but I decided to hop on, see what's up, say hi to my listeners, to our listeners. Season 10, did you guys mention this? Season 10, longest Juventus running podcast in the world. Yeah, all done. Dash, you're looking good, dude. That beard is bussing.
I'm old, man. I'm getting old. I got gray hairs in it now.
Oh, buddy. That's when you can get the Cougs, though.
I know.
That's what I said.
The Cougs. I love it. Great win. I'm going in there hoping for a draw. And we had a great meeting with the fan club of Chicago. First big one. Met a lot of new fans, including Milan fans. Really cool crowd. I'm going to show a flag a little later. It's sitting over there.
Did you get any video?
No, man. You know, I'm so bad at that. I was so into the game. I had my boy with me on my lap. He was like watching the game with me.
Just strap a GoPro to your forehead the next time you do it.
I know. And the goal came out of nowhere, you know, that shot. And we were just talking with, shout outs to Akbar, my buddy. We're just talking about how back in the 90s, you know, defenders used to just have these shots from outside the box. Ronald Koeman from Barca, if you guys remember. And like literally 5 minutes later, Locatelli just goes at it. And sometimes you're going to have a mistake like that. So,
yeah. You know, center back, 90s center backs are a different breed, man. Like those guys never missed leg day. Like you ever see the quads of a 90s center back? Holy smoke.
Dude, and that's like without like the modern medicine.
I know. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if Maldini and Nesta had modern medicine? Same thing with Del Piero too. Like with modern strength and conditioning. Like, holy smokes, man.
Who's the, who's even a guy like Cannavaro, like, not that, like, you know, like, he was a little bowling ball, but, like, I mean, he'd be like a ripped up bowling ball. Like,
Gattuso. David. You put Gattuso on a lean diet?
Edgar David's? Maybe Zidane as well. Holy smokes, dude.
Who's your, not your favorite, but like an iconic 90s center back that comes to mind that you would not want to meet in an alley? Go. Dash.
Oh, it's got, even though he's technically not a center back, it's got to be Maldini.
Like, okay. Dave. Dude,
holy smokes.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot in the 90s.
That's okay. Zachy, we'll come back to you.
Oh, dude, I don't know. Probably, I mean, Maldini for sure, but like, wait, was Gattuso?
I think he was a left back.
No, Gattuso was a midfielder. Well, but I would choose him. That's a good call.
No, Maldini is. Go ahead.
The thing is, though, Reno would like rip your head off. He was like a pit bull.
I like
it. He would rip your head off just out of sheer rage.
Let me give you guys a name that came to my mind.
He would stab me.
It's like before I give you the name, my cousin and I, you know, we grew up watching football together and all that. We used to have a list of what we called football names. And like, those are the cool fucking sounding names. How about Jaap Stam?
Oh, Jaap Stam. Okay. That's a good shout.
Haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, those are one of those that you have to be reminded. Yeah. And then it's like the nostalgia trip.
There's this clip online where he grabs the guy's getting at him. He's trying to start something.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like
a foot shorter than him. Jaap Stam goes for the neck, grabs him, and you can see like the manliness of the other guy just drained to his feet. It's the most scary. I'm scared for that guy.
Anyways, it's like where the clip stops and it's like, this is me. You're probably wondering how I got here.
Got here. Narrator. That's right. All right, let's get back. I'm listening. Let's get back.
So speaking of center backs, I think we got to talk about Dean, right? Dean, he's like, I am so fucking high right now. Like, you can tell from his play style. He's just sitting there. He's like, what?
Dude, like,
he had his child picture.
I mean, that child picture is so funny, dude. Oh,
he
my
looks
God.
The same. Like, the same. Like, yeah. It's literally the same.
I think was he six in that one, I believe.
Yeah. Like if you look at him how he was playing, like
he's that's
like,
him at six.
Yeah. So like holy crap. if you look at him the entire game, how he was like his facial expression, it's like this.
Yeah.
Like, you the most unimpressed guy in the world.
He is Dutch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for those who don't know, remind people how he came up and became a substitute at San Siro. Where did he come from? How did he impress?
The ranks, next gen.
Yeah, well, he came through the academy, but he was getting offers from, I believe it was Barcelona. Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. He was getting some offers for some big teams, and he was like, "No, I'm good. I'm good here. I'm gonna just chill here." And then he got promoted to the next gen because. It's almost like the same as Yildiz. And speaking of him, we haven't heard of him since he cut his hair. But we had some, and that's the interesting thing with some of the youngsters that we got in. Like they were on other teams' radars or other teams wanted them, but they picked the youth project at Juve. And you want to know why? Because out of all European teams, Juventus has been the one that has promoted the most players from their youth sector.
Currently, so 9 of the 22 on the starting sheet this weekend came from the youth ranks. 41%.
So if I am a youngster and I want a speed ticket to top tier division footy, I am going to Juve. That is why Ealing Jr. is here. That is why Yildiz is here. That is why Dean Huijsen is here. Because they saw Fagioli, they saw Moretti, and they saw those guys get promoted quickly, and also the project. Juve have the best youth system in Italy right now. So, the only thing is we haven't sold any of them because we don't want to, but I'm pretty sure
we need them.
We need them.
We legit need them. We're playing them.
In theory, you could flip a lot of those guys for 15 or 20 million easily.
Yeah. We're talking about Bernardeschi coming back. Believe me, we're not selling
No, we're not actually talking about that.
No, that was just that was speculation. That was something that La Stampa, you see on La Stampa.
Yeah, La Stampa, places. Yeah, for real.
But yeah, oh, good. Come on.
Yapstam owns La Stampa.
Yeah, but you got to think too, right? Like I listen to the Toronto media because I follow all the Toronto teams. I would have heard something, but right. other than that, like mm-hmm. an initial report, nothing. So
it was just a funny tweet.
Yeah, and like Torontonians, I mean, they're just like any other city in North America, right? Their attention spans, like, okay, let's move on next story.
Yeah, what? Well, yeah, right. Give it to me in 5 seconds. Hilarious.
It does even start for them anymore for Toronto yeah. Blue Stars or whatever they are.
Just Toronto FC. It's so easy.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Toronto Black Matadors.
Oh my!
Speaking of that, just 2 seconds. I'm so happy American teams are moving away from the cheesy mascots and the cheesy names, like. The ones that are left now are still kind of that. I mean, LA Galaxy is kind of cool because it's like City of Stars or whatever. That can be
the ones that aren't racist and they can't use anymore.
Yeah, which was like 95%. Yeah. We still have like little high schools around here, like, you know, there's just like an Indian or Native American running around with a
tomahawk.
Yeah, I was gonna say machete, but that's man, never mind.
See, this is why we can't do this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because like apparently with the Washington Commanders, like the actual tribe is trying to get them to change their name back to the Redskins. Interesting. Like there's an actual petition for it, and then like Kansas City, they wanted to change their name, but the tribe that the Chiefs is based off of also said no, you have to keep the name.
Oh wow.
So that's awesome. That's actually kind of funny. But yeah, with MLS kind of every team is either Real or Sporting something.
Or FC. Or FC.
Inter Miami.
What is Sporting?
Sporting
Club. City.
It's supposed to be a sporting club.
It's bougie. Like it's we're the Sporting Club of Kansas City. Why don't you just
There's nothing more British than Kansas City, right?
it's what is it? It's grayscale, super moody, and it rains a shit ton. That's pretty much Manchester for you.
Who was your man of the match? Take a pick, whoever wants to.
Hold on, we didn't talk about Huijsen though.
We didn't talk about Huijsen.
Well, then let's talk about our man of the match.
Yeah, Huijsen sauce. Let's go.
So,
I'm so impressed with him, dude. Like, again, the composure of this kid. I mean, what is he? 18?
Yeah,
19.
He's legal, ladies. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's a baby, but he carries himself on the pitch with a certain. I dare say it, grace.
And
composure,
like that kind of like light had it, like stepping,
like he yeah, Dutch, it's like
Amsterdam.
It's like, he can like the way he his footwork is elegant and his touch. But then when he wants to barrel you the fuck over, he's gonna barrel you the fuck over. You know what I mean?
He barreled Florenzino. It was fucking hilarious.
Oh.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, that's so cool. Like, you guys both pointed out the opposite, right? Just within, we're talking about the same guy still.
He's everything we wanted DeLitt to be. That's pretty much it. The only difference is he doesn't have the 50 pounds of extra muscle that DeLitt has, but like, way more mature, way more with a better football IQ, challenges a lot more grace in his challenges.
Shout outs to my son.
The bench. Oh my god.
So it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even rhyme together.
He's always on the bench.
But it's just funny because like he always talks about us, and then Tuchel comes out on an interview and says, "Yeah, I don't really like how he defends. That's why I don't play him that much." Which is just like forever like the greatest troll ever. And then everyone's like, "Bro, how do you spend time with Chiellini and Bonucci and not learn how to do a single thing like they do?" And then everyone's like, just go.
Licht means bench in Dutch.
Possibly. It must.
That was the joke.
You know what's funny? Somebody
be Matthias of the bench.
Matthias of the bench. You know what's funny? Somebody actually changed his name on Wikipedia to DeBenched for like a couple hours until it got changed back.
Oh yeah.
Talk about a legendary troll right there.
Go ahead,
Farah.
I was gonna say he may move to another team and become great there. I think like people are just too hard on him. But this is not a Dilik podcast. So
it's so
go ahead, I had this Googled. Sorry, this is one of those breaking news things. Dilik is a Dutch surname, means the light one, a nickname meaning a slight person. Dilik. Okay.
I don't know, he's not very slight.
Slight defender.
His personality is.
He seems like just an overly petty dude, but
yeah,
so you know, he's not petty. Dean Huijsen.
Huijsen sauce. There we go.
Huijsen sauce. Whatever sauce he's got, man, is a pregame sauce. I want that shit, man, because that like, do you see some of his penetrating balls? He split two levels of Milan players to find Chiesa. And I'm like sitting here, like, what the hell is this? I'm like, can this guy play center mid at this point? Like, holy hell.
Put him in. Yeah. Put him in.
Put him in. Start him as a center defensive midfield. Hold on.
Center, isn't that Gatti's spot? Like
that's Frankie.
Both are defenders. Both are young defenders or like midfielders at the same time.
Yeah, like though I think Huijsen, the one thing that I think Huijsen has a leg up on Gatti is like he is a lot more composed than Gatti is.
Yeah. Like but Gatti, you need the crazy one.
Definitely he's got that Chiellini in him. Huijsen, we're still figuring out what's up with him. Any man who is at 6 years old would write Juventus on their forehead and put it online is my kind of guy.
I think he kind of resembles me more, like Huijsen resembles, like mentality wise, right? I think he reminds me of Barzagli, right?
Yeah,
like almost more, like a calm like a gentleman's footballer in a sense.
Right. Yeah.
Where I think like out of raw physical power, I think Bremer relates to Chiellini. And then like with offensive capability, like just a lot more, I don't want to say voluptuous, but like just kind of out there. I think Gatti has a little bit more parallels with Bonucci, right? Because Bonucci,
he's like Bonucci without the crazy uncle vibes.
Yeah, it's like Bonucci post like random concussion or CT after he got from Milan or something like that. But
also first ever use of word voluptuous on the Turin Giants podcast.
I know. I looked it up in a thesaurus. I feel so.
I think we need a Bel Piero ding just for that.
First use of thesaurus on our podcast.
So yeah, now we know that we actually have some tidbits. But anyways, go on, Zachy boy.
Oh no, just really quick. I saw some people equate his watching Huijsen. People compared him to Chito Ferrara. So if anybody who's an older that's watcher, because I never watched Chito.
It was one of the Juve coaches, right?
Yes.
Whoever, like if there are any older listeners who can speak to that, please let me know on Twitter because that's sick. Because I mean Chito Ferrara is a club legend, so I like that.
Their response to you, Zachy, would be, who is this Twitter? The fuck is this? I thought it was Facebook.
The old lady, it's that old lady meme where it's like, I remember like Twitter used to have a burn. It's like, okay, let's go to bed, grandpa.
Let me
put you to sleep.
All right. So let's transition this party into the man of the match discussion. So I'm going to throw mine out there. I'm going to go against the curve. I'm not going to say Loke. I'm going to say Keane for me was the man of the match, held the ball up, created opportunities, gave us the red card, essentially gave us the advantage. Shame. The only cherry on top of the Moise Keane cake, or the yacht, as we said in the last podcast, is getting that goal. That's the only thing that we missed, that he missed on that one. I thought Keane did fantastically well, especially having essentially a dud next to him up top. So I thought he did well. He handled it well. I'm going to go against the curve and say Keane, whoever's next, state it. Don't at me.
Honestly, love that Keane shout, to be honest. Like, I mean, if there was any player on the pitch who deserved a goal, it was him.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, sometimes.
I don't know about second half, because the team kind of came together. And maybe Locatelli, because you can sort of see the team uniting. So it was really good to see that there was no standouts in the second half. First, I would have to go with Vea. Controversial, but you saw him a lot. You saw him fighting for the balls a lot. I really enjoyed the dog in him.
We got to put him as a center forward.
I think Wea had a very good game.
He did have a good game. He, nothing really produced offensively, you can say, from him, but he was involved, and he definitely kind of tied his flank down.
Telling you, you heard it here first. The moment Allegri plays Keane alongside Weah, that offense is going to be scary. Yeah,
you're calling that one. You call a lot of things, and then
it's true though. Right. I agree.
I've been right on practically everything.
You do actually have a pretty good record. I won't say everything. Let's not get carried away. But I mean, I'm going to echo Dash as well. So we got three guys here that would have chosen Keane as number one, but I'll give an honorable mention, especially because he was a substitute, but I really liked what Cambiaso offered when he did show up.
Very good call. Very spicy boys, as our pro club team is called.
Absolutely.
We need to do a drinking podcast. What's going on?
No, that's haram for me. I don't drink.
Oh.
Well, not even joking.
I know. No, I respect that, but then sounds like you're out.
We just got to get him, dude. We just got to get, I'll send you like a really nice craft soda. I'm a connoisseur.
He says craft soda, and then he sends me an Izzy, a fizzy, or whatever the hell those are.
No, dude. Okay, we got a shop in my hometown called the Pop Shop, dude. Rocks. You can get all sorts of different types of weird, but also really great, like small batch sort of like pops, and they're great.
So do you guys? So this is an interesting question. So we call it pop here. Do you guys call it? So you guys do call it pop in Baltimore?
No, it's soda.
Soda.
Pop yeah. Here in Canada.
Michigan's weird as hell. Michigan will go soda or pop. It's like a 50-50 split. Like, for example, if I'm in Ann Arbor, which is like the hipster town, like they'll call it soda. And then if I'm like in like, you know, the outskirts of like the industrial centers of Detroit, like people call it pop.
Pop.
Yeah, you got some pop. Yeah. Or they won't even say that. They'll say you got Coke or Pepsi. Like mostly that's it. Like, I remember that was like the hugest debate. And yes, to also hit the stereotype, us Michiganders do say "oh" every time we accidentally run into someone or something happens. Sorry about that.
And since we're on the corporate talk, do we want to drop a couple numbers? Came out today.
You want to do the financials? Because we're going to do financials. We pretty much covered the game, so I mean, we might as well talk the financials and transfer rumors.
I think don't have to dwell on them. They're just numbers. We'll get them out of the way. So it looks like the board of directors have released 80 million euro for Juventus, for the football club to spend.
Let's go. Lukaku's coming in January, boys. We're getting Lukaku. Oh,
wasn't that 200 a couple of weeks ago?
That was the capital gains.
Yes, capital gains. So they actually, I don't know, Dash, if you know better.
Yeah, so essentially what that means is that that's the money that's being ingested into the club to cover any kind of financial losses or any deficits there. The 80 is actual liquid assets that they can use for Lukaku. No, I'm just kidding. For other players, Berardi is an honorable mention. And Jadon Sancho is another one. And
I'm all about it.
We have potential for who's the other guy, the Danish guy, Holberg or something like that.
Yeah, Holberg. Or Samardic.
Holberg. Samardic.
Looking less likely, but
a lot of interesting January talk. I can't wait.
I know
it's gonna be coming in hot pretty soon.
I think right with Fagioli with sports betting and possibly getting shipped off to some team in the summer. I just want to say that just to piss people off, but with Fagioli essentially out of the game and Pogba both of them, you have two glaring misses in the midfield. And now, I mean, technically, because Pogba's contract has not been terminated, so the money's not free yet. But barring none, or if he is terminated, you're gonna have some cash to spend. And hopefully, Juntoli knows what he's doing and gets midfielders that can fit the holes. Because I think right now, defensively, I think we're good. I think the only question that we have and we need to sort out defensively is that ball playing center back, which if you're able to kind of speed run Huijsen's integration into the first team, I think you patch it. I think it's a fair assumption to say that you can patch that. The question is who is the midfielder that has the balls to the wall game changing ability? We don't have that currently, and we don't have that in the next gen either. That is a big glaring hole. As far as left wing backs and right wing backs, I think we're solid there. I don't have any concerns. I'm not too worried about that. And then the second hole, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but we need a 38 game striker, like a consistent striker that can play 38 games, because we have shuffled that front line way too damn much.
Let Keen see how long he can go up front.
As much as I love him, he also gets knocks that random knocks that take him out.
He does. Like, I'm just fanboying there.
Look, I'm gonna be clear. This is a very, very hot take. This is gonna be super spicy. But I hate his personality. But from what he has contributed to Roma, it is something that we can't overlook, and it is Lukaku. It is.
My Lord.
It is, again.
Literally, the whole stadium was chanting, "No Lukaku."
I understand.
And Dash wants to bring him in.
I understand that. But from the production standpoint that he has done, and especially with him being a 2 or 3 year option, I don't see an issue with it. Because Mourinho's found a way to integrate him, and he's working pretty damn well. Roma's kind of turning their season around in a sense.
But barely. I want to say they're like the only team that looks worse than Juve on the pitch.
Okay, right, but that's the thing, right? Because like if you look at the stuff around him, it's outside of Pellegrini. Like,
mm-hmm. It proves your point more.
It proves my point, yeah. Right? Like, Lukaku's essentially elevated a really bad team, in my opinion. Like a really poor team. Because if you look at the games that he's played and the contributions as far as hold-up play, he is the perfect striker for a 3-5-2. And especially if you know how to manage him physically so he doesn't hurt himself, he's going to have everyone feast around him. El Shaarawy is scoring goals of all people for Roma because he's playing next to Lukaku. It's one of those things where right now what we're missing is you're missing, and I'm not saying it has to be Lukaku. Look at what Thuram is doing with Inter. He's doing the same exact thing Lukaku is doing. You need a brute striker that can play 30 games without a muscle injury or without his lower back being sore or without knocks in their quads or their hamstrings. And this is a shot at all of them. This is a shot at Milik. This is a shot at Keane. And this is a shot at Dusan. All three of those guys have tendencies to get some really stupid injuries. Really, really dumb injuries. Where you need a guy. And like, for example, I'm not saying we need to sign Giroud, right? But you need a guy that is a big bruiser as a striker that can trap the ball, hold the ball, and let your wingers play. Because right now, the only player that we have that can be capable of doing anything like that to an extent is Keane. And even that is questionable, right? It's not consistently awesome.
Kevin and I bet that Keane is going to score 10 goals or more, and I'll get him a jersey.
Yes.
Watch out. Looks like I'm good so far.
Yeah, so really? Far. So,
since we put that bet like six weeks ago, how many goals did he have?
But it's a little disingenuous because I think the better question is how many goals has he created?
Yeah, what's up what happened? I leave for one episode and all of a sudden it's like a keen.
We've always loved Keen. We've always defended him.
I don't mind him either, but you guys are describing him as if he's creating these beautiful goals and opportunities.
No.
He's good without scoring. He's this messiah. Come on. He's just
look at how many minutes he's played. If you've given him the minutes
I've heard that too. And ever since then, he started every game and got subbed out.
Okay.
And I threw my water bottle when he got subbed out because it was a ridiculous decision.
out of the two, he was much better. But let's not go wild with.
He's the best we have, and he's also, other than maybe Milik, the cheapest.
All around game right now, he is, and I think Dusan only had two more goals than him last season, and Dusan took penalties. Keane didn't last.
Are you moving towards people not seeing your face at all? Like you're just gonna.
I'm trying to get better audio. All I care about is audio. I don't really care about my face.
Keane, I hope he gets 5 goals, man. I really do, because it's gonna be.
You better hope he gets 10, because if he shows that he's worth a damn, people are gonna spend 30 to 40 million to buy him.
I hope he gets 10, but then I don't understand what's gonna happen to this podcast. You guys will literally rename it because this guy's on 0 goals in the last 1 million games. But it's
that's a stretch.
Admiration.
No, because how many did he get last year?
Keen had like 8 to nearly 10, essentially.
I think it was 8.
It was 8.
I joke. I wish none of our players a bad season, but so far I think you guys are exaggerating just a little bit. Of course, every podcast has to have someone who disagrees with the crew, but I do disagree with the crew. I don't think Vlahovic was that terrible. He was not great. I think Chiesa, it's just putting them in later in the game, I feel like didn't do much difference. I agree. Out of the four, I feel like Keane was the best, but he didn't score. To me, there's so many variations. There's so many variables for a player.
Nobody,
and to me,
nobody a scored. Striker, it was an own goal. Not officially, but it was.
he had a chance. I mean, anyways,
I'm gonna say bye.
Sorry, I'm gonna let you guys continue. I've been playing keeper for my hospital soccer team, and it's been awesome. Let me tell you, the most
that's
invigorating position in football is the keeper, because when it's on, it's on, and all eyes on you, it's awesome. I've been really enjoying it. Improving every game. Wish me luck. It's a playoff game. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me stop by.
Good luck, brother.
Yep. See ya.
Thank you. I hope Keane plays against me. See you guys.
Oh my God.
He doesn't understand how big Keane's thighs is. We're going funny. So, there you go.
So I pulled up his numbers. So Moise Keane, it says he has 6 appearances, but if you add his minutes, it's only 3 90-minute full games. So not really much of a sample size, right? To really go off it. And a lot of them were 7 to 15 minute cameos out of that 6. So
you don't have the time to cook. And I think that's really what we're arguing and what we're championing. We're not so much coming here and saying Keane is the greatest thing ever. He's the best, like sell Dusan, keep Keane. It's more that he has shown that he's hungry. Just like Cambiasso on the left has shown that he's more hungry, more willing to go and put that work in. Let that guy cook. Let Who cares cook. How much you paid for Vlahovic? Keane is the one right now showing that he wants it.
Let him cook.
But, you know, it kind of goes to show with the rhetoric I said before. Like, Keane makes an error, everyone's kind of burying him. You know, Dusan makes an error. Oh, it's not too bad, right? Like, that's kind of, it irritates me. It's a little bit of it's an unfair bias.
It is. It's a double standard. And we did scroll on Twitter there on the post game show to see, and mind you, it was a lot less this week, but we only found 2 memeable type things about Keane. And there were still like, they were trolly, of course. And it's just like, he cannot get a break. Like, he was literally the only one pulling his heart out. Is the most technically gifted player? No, absolutely not. If he was, he would have scored. But of who we have to select from on the roster, I will, at this point in time, argue every single day of the week that he's the one that wants it the most. You put him in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah. That's kind of my gripe. I mean, I'm not saying Moise Keane is the greatest thing since sliced cheese, but I think he deserves a lot more credit than people give him.
Mm-hmm.
Let the kid have his flowers, man. Kid cooked against Malta in the international break. Like, I feel bad for him. That's all. Like, he had a poor stint in Everton, and now everyone's kind of burying him mentally because he didn't, you know, pan out in Everton for that one season he was there. He did well.
Everton's been a mess for several years. It didn't work for him at Everton.
He went
didn't
to,
work for a lot of people at Everton.
No,
he did all right at PSG though.
Yeah, double digit goals in that one season he was there. Played really well off the left. Came back to Juve, played the season without Ronaldo. That season was an absolute dumpster fire of a season. The first season that Allegri was in charge.
Yeah, just generally.
And then last season, nearly got double-digit goals and got decisive goals in our eight match undefeated streak. Our eight match undefeated run was decisive in that.
Now, that was the point we were arguing. I can't remember the exact number now, but he has per minutes played, like per 90. He has the most goals per 90 amongst the team.
All the strikers.
Yeah. So play him more and you might get more goals, because that stat might, I know you can't rely on a single stat, but it's a per pretty good marker in this case, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking on stats, looking at the January transfer window, I think it's been confirmed we're purchasing a midfielder or maybe two. What do you guys think?
For sure. The one.
Well, yeah. we lost two starters, or two what we consider to be potential starters, and or like good big pieces coming off the bench. So yeah, we got to do it.
So we're coming off the back of this $80 million that we just found out. You explained, okay, we got 200, but that's to cover debts, all that. So we actually have $80 million in our coffers.
Yep, because I believe the capital loss or the loss was 117.
Yeah.
117 million. I think that's what it was. So
the numbers are about right.
Yeah. So Elkin kind of said F it and threw 200 at it. So
cover the debt, whatever's left. Let's go. So 80 million is a healthy amount of money, especially since we are looking for younger profiles to develop and build into the next couple of years, right? So Thuram is probably the biggest name. Now, I've heard anywhere from like 30 to 60 million. 60, if it's 60 million,
outrageous.
Like, no.
Outrageous. Not.
60, no. But I mean, go get him right away, though. Like, yeah. I don't want him. Like, you got, like, he has people's eyes on them. And it's like, we need a guy like that. Go get him now.
Yeah, the one problem, though, is we did that with Vlahovic. Oh, everyone's looking at him. The price will be jacked up come the summer. Let's throw, even though it's probably still an overvaluation, let's throw the money at him now. And what if it doesn't pan out? So we have to be careful with the Thuram situation, depending on how much Nice actually will settle with this one.
Sure.
Because, I mean, any of the other big English teams or Bayern or whoever could just come and be like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah. Like Juve right now can't get into a bidding war with any of the bigger teams, because another thing that kind of popped off and you covered in the Discord, Dave, that also hurts Serie A is the new Serie A TV deal, 954 million over 5 years, 28 million less than the last deal.
Okay. I think I think you mixed currency.
I got American currency. That's what I have.
Yeah, it's 900 euro and then it's 28 million euro less. So you used America. And then euro. Okay. No, so yeah. Let's start over just to make it clear. So the TV deals with Sky Sports and DAZN, it's 900 million euro a year for 5 years, 4.7 billion. And that works out to 28 million euro less per year. So we're actually going to get less TV money now. So cool.
Kelcho's back, everybody.
Oh, that's what they mentioned in the article, too. They poked fun at that. Oy. That was a Forbes article specifically I put up because, I mean, Forbes money.
That's probably why Allegri threw his suit and everything off. He found the TV deal. Just raged. Just lost his mind. But yeah. Oh. Well, I guess it goes to show Gravina and all those guys. Gravina just took another L. You can add another L to his L
that sheet. I say, how many more L's are we going to add to this guy's fucking sheet?
So this was drawn out. It was a bit of a power play in the sense that they were lowballing the zone in the Sky. And if you just see, you said, no, we're not doing it. Or I guess, no, it would be Liga Serie A is who it would have been. And like, no, we're not doing it. It's too low. And then they threatened, okay, we'll start our own network. Things kind of got dragged along. And what this article explains is they kind of saw in France that they got boned by waiting out and trying to do their own thing. Read the article. It says a lot better than me, but
paraphrasing.
Yeah. Just so I'm not here all day. They basically got scared that they would screw this up and they should take the money while they can. And since they were lowballed and now it's only 28 million less than, you know, last year, I think it's like they've conceded. Okay.
So, dash translation. Italy ain't got no balls for this. That's what it is. They got no balls when it comes to negotiating for the
Lega Serie A.
Lega Serie A got no balls.
But the other part of that piece was, okay, go make your own network if you want. oh, well, we've drawn this out so long now, you don't have any time to set up the
infrastructure. Like, look, I've said this in plenty of our videos. I've sent this in our logo video that we did. I said the Juve and Serie A and all those guys need to start twerking for the Yanks, because that is where you're going to get your money.
Twerk for the Yanks.
You got to twerk for the Yanks, man, because that's what the Premier League did. That's what the Premier League did.
That's what they did. You're right.
They went over there and they said, hey, I know we ruled you for about, 100 years, and then it got really nasty, but our football league isn't doing too well. Do you think you could spend some of your investors' money on us, and we'll give you some tea and crumpets just so we can raise, whatever, but, $2 billion a season won't hurt. And America said, yeah, sure, no issue, guys.
And the concerning thing about that, so they make $6 billion per season right now. So we get 4.7 over five. They renewed their deal in 2025, and it's looking like they'll probably increase
make
that
more number. Because it's the Super League. Until Saudi says, we're going to, do even more. It's funny. I was listening to the podcast that Farah did with Fiago, and I kind of did some due diligence on my own. I've got like this conspiracy theory that Saudi is trying to make their Premier League like better than all the other European leagues because they're hosting the World Cup. They're trying to host the World Cup in 30 or 34. Yeah. So like, how funny, like how ironic would that be of a paradigm shift if the Saudi league is the best league in the world at one point? Like, could you imagine how much of like instead of us covering the Champions League, we're covering the AFC, the Asian Football Champions League.
Well, let's be honest with ourselves without diving too deep into geopolitics, that the paradigm shift, staying on theme with those words, is moving eastward as it has traditionally laid in a lot of history, right?
Like China tried doing it, but they fumbled the bag. But the difference is Saudi has the bag. Like, they will not lose that bag.
No, because they're a lot more open to dealing with the Americans, whereas
moral of the story for any sports that isn't in the United States, y'all want to make your league successful or go far, start twerking for the US and the Saudi, Saudis. Like,
yeah, that's about it.
Could you imagine how much money the PGA is getting poured into now because the Saudis are invested in it? Same thing with WWE. The Saudis invested in it. Like, there's two shows that they do in Saudi Arabia, and like Saudi Arabia says, this is how you know how much influence Saudi has in sports is when they force the WWE to bring back a retired or air quotes retired John Cena or Undertaker to do matches in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Like, that is how much power those guys have. And you guys mean
money.
To tell
They're
me
just
that
throwing money at it.
And you mean to tell me that these goons in England, these pundits are freaking out about like, yeah, you better freak out because Saudi coming for you. They coming for your league. They coming for your players.
Your job. Yeah, they your coming wife, for your job, your daughter.
It's only a matter
of female in your family. They're coming.
You better hide yourself because the Saudis are coming, man. They're taking everything. They're going to take your American bride.
Will take your daughter.
Come on, Dave.
And shower her with gifts that you can never hope to imagine.
Dave. They're going to take their broadcasting rights. Next thing later, we're going to see the Premier Saudi League on NBC and Sports Network and all that other stuff. It's coming, man. It's coming. So I need to turn off my thing over here. But final thoughts, we'll end it on this main question. Now with the win against Milan, are Juve contenders? You guys go ahead and kick it off.
Not if we play like that. We don't. We aren't.
But you could argue that's how we have to play to be champions.
Yeah, but like, I don't think so. Like, that win should have been so much more convincing, it wasn't. You know what I mean? And like,
but it's also a classic Allegri ball game, which, as sad as it is, that's how we end up winning these things.
I mean, it's classic second take Allegri. It's post Madrid Allegri.
Sure. Yeah, and completely different player profiles as well, right? We have to consider that. He's
of course. You're right.
But I mean, that's a classic style. He clearly, as we discussed, was not happy with the outcome. But
I will say I did absolutely enjoy him going off.
Oh, I love it. So let's talk about that here, because apparently it's a big deal that he has so much passion for his team that he got upset and took his tie off.
So funny.
It was hilarious, and I understand it. My dad understood it too. My dad was saying, he's like, yeah, I would too. He's like, I would have lost my shit too, because they were making really unnecessary. Here's the thing: Allegri was pissed because, again, they didn't really do much after the goal. Like, they kind of coasted and made really simple / stupid passes. And then at the end of the game, where he's like, hey, do a 1-2, run, keep the ball in the corner, just sit in the corner, stop making dumb passes in the middle and giving them room to counter. Right. And like, the team's like, what? And then he's just like,
you have to understand as well, when you're actually getting that physically mad, that's why they say your blood boils, because it like does. You get warm. He was probably starting to sweat at that point. He was so upset.
You can just see the steam coming off of his head.
You could. Well, yeah. And I understand it from my perspective as a player too, because, like, you know, there's times where, so I play on the same team as my dad. There's times where I'm literally yelling at my dad for him making a stupid mistake or a dumb play. I'd get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't take my clothes off mid-game and throw it, but, you know, I'll have people like, bro, chill, that's your dad. I'll say, not on the field, he's not. Chill the F out, guys, I got this.
No, but, like, it's almost kind of like, because he's my dad, I feel a little bit more comfortable, like, kind of like, firing off a little bit. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. So, like, in Albanian culture, you never mouth off to your elders. You're always like,
oh, I get it. I get it.
So, like, when other Albanians see me, like, go off and lose it, because, like, oh my gosh, he had me at a diagonal as an outlet for a pass in, and he literally passes it the wrong way, turnover, they score. I'm looking at him, I'm like, you have 40 plus bleeping years in this bleeping game. How the bleep do you make that kind of mistake? What are you, bleeping 5? Get your bleep out of your bleep before I put it in there for you, because you're clearly playing with it in there. And I was like, bro, chill. It's your
dad. That's wild, man.
And then I had like my Kobe moment where I look at him. I'm like, I don't give a bleep. F him. He's a grown up. He can handle this. Everyone's like,
yo,
you guys, here's the thing. When I'm playing for real, you guys don't want to see me, because, like, the coach, like, when I'm playing and I have like that coach dash moment, I lose it, especially if it's like one of those players that, like, for me, if I know that you're not capable, I'm not gonna hark on you, right? Because it's like, all right, he's playing within his parameters, there's nothing there. But if I know you're a baller and you do some stupid shit, you best believe I'm coming for your booty.
It's coming for
without
you,
sounding
yeah.
weird.
His, like, glasses will fly off. He'll take his puffy vest off. He'll roll up his sleeves. He's gonna start fighting.
Like, it's like, because for me, it's like, you know, I'm Albanian, I'm hot blooded, it's kind of how we are. But I've had moments where I've sat there and it's like, people are like, bro, chill. I'm like, no. And then, like, the worst is like when I've had a player give me a lippy response. You can't expect me to make every, he's like, so I remember this one player had a couple of easy tap ins, absolutely shanks all of them. And I look at him, I'm like, hey, man, how many beeping times do I need to give you? You need to get a ball for you to do this. Like, you good? You need a minute? You all right? Why do you got to have this expectation on me hitting it every bleeping time? It's not, you know, it's life. You can't make every single shot. I'm like, did you just give me the most defeatist response ever? What kind of dude are you at this point? Do you want to just go home and not play anymore? Because, oh, you might not make this, or you might not do this. I was like, grow a bleeping pair. You want to give me a soft response? Like, I have moments where I
right?
just
like at that point, it's like, nah, man, tell me to fuck off. Like, I want to hear you yell at me, fuck off. Like, I know that I'm fucking up.
Yeah, like, that's the one thing as a coach that I respect. Like, if I'm like, hey, what the hell are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Bleep it, coach. I know. Like when I hear that back, that to me is like, okay. Because, like, and you might get this because you're an educator as well. But for me, it's like, if I respect someone that'll sit there and tell me I effed up on this play. Like, dash,
ownership. It's just ownership.
Like, that to me, like, that to me is like, okay. Like, because, like, the one thing that really, really grinds my gears, and I just sound like a boomer saying this, is a player
you
that
does not, really grinds my gears.
Player that cries or complains about a play or something like that, and then, like, they don't take the accountability and say, let me adjust this. Because, like, for example, even when I'm playing myself, when I'm on the field and when I'm playing as a cam or something, say that I give a pass and the guy misses. And I'll go up to him like, hey, You good? Like, what can I do? Like, did I put too much pace on that? Too much backspin? What's the deal? Oh, no, 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 you're good. I'm like, all right, let me try to set you up the next time. I mean, like, it's stuff like that. Like, for me, I really, really respect guys that can say, yo, man, I effed up. My bad. Give me the next one. Like, let me do it. Instead of
I did it yesterday. Like, ball, like, keeper played the ball out on a kick to me, and I went to take it with my weak foot because I was playing on the left side. So I was going to take it and turn with it. And the ball just took a wicked skip off the turf and bounced over my foot, went out of bounds. And I just said, I'll get the next one. Sorry.
No, you know, there's always that douchebag player that, like, if that happens to them, why'd you give me that pass?
It's like, I'm like, it was a perfectly fine pass. I missed. Like no. And then, like, it was, like, right before half. So then I, like, ran out there. Yeah, right.
You just should have got the actual clip.
You know, it's like, you know, I, like, ran out. I was, like, one of the, like, the NBA, like, players who, like, goes out, or, like, one of the NBA, like, towel dudes, like, goes out there and, like, finds the wet spot and, like, wipes it off. So I, like, immediately went out there. I was like, yeah, it's a little wet there. No wonder why the ball skipped. Shit. But, nah, I mean, look, to put a bow on this. Yeah. Okay. I'm frustrated. Maybe I'm just frustrated with the way we played. Look, we have it.
We're there.
I think we do need to go out and get some midfielders, because now we're missing weapons that we thought we would have. But we can do it. I still have faith, but we got to do better than that. That has to be, like, our worst winning performance of the year.
Yes. And to kind of further your point there, I think, guys, we're at the dance, listeners. We're at the dance.
100%.
We're at the dance. The question is, we have two questions.
We're at the back wall with all the dudes too afraid to dance with the girls.
Kind of. We just walked in. I think the better analogy is we just walked in. So we just walked into the dance. The question is, two questions actually. Can we dance? And are we wearing the right shoes? And by right shoes, my metaphor is the right players to take you to where you need to go.
Right.
And the dance, obviously, is us playing. So those are the two questions you need that we're going to have to answer. And first answer is going to be against Hellas Verona at home. And the second answer is going to be against Fiorentina. And then the real, and this is where we start seeing if we're actually in the dance floor or if we're the awkward guy in the back corner, which is fourth place, when we find out after the international break against Inter. I think these next three games are going to be super exciting. I think they're also going to be super frustrating. I don't believe that we're going to sweep and win all three of them. If we do, at that point, we're throwing a Scudetto contention party at that point. At that point, you're making the statement that, hey, we're here to stay. However, I'm not saying don't enjoy this win. I'm saying enjoy it, but also don't lose sight of reality and don't lose sight of expectations, right? Because don't be like my Detroit Lions, where we thought we were going to do something great, and then Zachy's big raven showed me otherwise, metaphorically. But mind you this, Juventino, this is something we haven't been in about 2 or 3 years, right? The position that we're in. We have an opportunity to go, because we play first. We can go first place and then watch Inter and Milan and see what they do next. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We have that luxury now. Enjoy it. Rejoice, and maybe kind of stop with the Allegri out crap for a little bit.
Is that going on again?
I have no idea. Okay. But remember to enjoy it while it's there. Will it be there longer? I can't answer it right now. I think the best mentality, guys, take it a game at a time, relax, stay hydrated, check in on your friends, and Forza Juve.
Vino alla fine.
I totally forgot to hit the stop record button. Just